was, God, fill up the chairs. Come on, Lord. And I get in the prayer room, and my dear sister Katie, she goes, God, fill up the chairs. Come on. So can you pray and believe God to fill up the chairs? Can he do that? Do you know God loves to move in a time where everything looks terrible? You look at the revivals. I've shared about so many of the revivals that have happened. I don't want to go back and go through them again. But revival after revival after revival happened in a time like we are living today, where people don't want to go to church. People don't want to hear about God. People want to walk their own way. And then somehow the spark of life of the Spirit of God comes and people start getting saved. But there's always a remnant who pray and seek God and believe him to move. So we are here today. I'm here today to encourage you. Pray that God fills up the chairs with people who can have their lives transformed. Lene, I know you had a testimony. Come on up. I didn't forget you.
Okay.
I just started talking about chairs. And I just shut the mic off.
And my testimony goes along with it, so.
Good.
Not chairs. So as many of you know, my sister has three little children that are 3 to 4 years old. And hands are full, but she's really busy. She works lots of hours and just has really begun saying, you know, I really need to be intentional about teaching my kids about God. And so she's been praying with them at night, and her husband is Catholic, so they have crucifixes with Jesus on the cross, and she's been talking. And so the kids, you know, are talking, and just a few days ago they were talking about, you know, Jesus is being in our hearts, and they said, well, but Jesus is dead, and she's like, no, Jesus is alive in our hearts. So I didn't know any of this. So yesterday I went shopping and at Tops and Avon and got back and realized that I had lost my phone. Now my phone is also my wallet, so it has all my credit cards and my driver's license and everything in it. And so I'm like, oh my goodness. And the kids actually, two of the kids have been with me. And so they're all around me as I'm trying to call and figure out how can I find my phone. You know, it's not an iPhone, so I'm trying to figure that out. And we went back and I went to the Tops again. We searched the van. We searched here. We searched there. And this went on for about an hour and a half. And the kids are getting all like, Liam, who is the 4.5-year-old, who is just so, he's like, I bet a robber took it. We need to call the police. And I'm like, no, we're okay. And anything, anyway. So after I tried everything, I suddenly said, you know what, guys, we just need to pray. We need to pray. God knows I need my phone, and we'll pray. And so we stopped, and we said a little prayer, and my brother-in-law calls Tops again, and they said, nope, we don't have your phone. And my prayer had been, you know, if someone has my phone, I don't care what they take out of it as long as they return the phone. And about 5 minutes later, the phone rings, and it's Tops, and someone had dropped off my phone. Now, this is like an hour and a half later. I had just dropped off my phone, everything in it. And Liam says, God is alive. And I have to tell you, if I had to lose my phone for those kids, and he kept saying it, you know, like every time we talk about it, he's like, God is alive. And I thought, wow, God, thank you for using this. So anyway, that's my testimony.
Amen. Amen, amen. Did you want to share? How many of you know Roxanne? Have you gotten to meet her? Roxanne has a testimony she wanted to share this morning.
There was a multiple car accident in Fort Worth, Texas. My daughter Mary had dropped off my daughter Denise, and she had my 4 grandkids in the van. And they were like in the center of the accident. Their van got hit the front, the side, and the back.
Mm.
No one was hurt. She was able to, didn't lose control. But I just thank God for protecting my grandkids and my granddaughter down, my daughter down in Texas. He hears our prayers and he's
Amen.
Around everybody. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Did you notice our new road sign down here at the bottom of the hill? It says, "Oh, come, let us adore him." This Christmas, would you please do that? Could I please remember to do that? There's a lot to adore. There's a lot to enjoy. But can you make sure that you adore him? Lord God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, Father. Oh, come, let us adore him. Okay, well, Adam, you're on board today, and I'm going to hope that my little clicker will click me through again, but I'm going to try. Then Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done, let it be to me according to your word." Go ahead to the next screen. Or actually, no, I said I was going to. Yeah, there we go. I would like to look at this. This is typically thought of as part of the Christmas story. But how many of you know this is not really part of the Christmas story? This happened 9 months before the Christmas story. We tend to lump all these events together for Merry Christmas. But this happened way before. Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin pledged in marriage to a man named Joseph who was in the house of David. And that is a very important detail. Do not skip past that very important detail. She was a virgin, but she was pledged in marriage to a man named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." What an incredible promise. "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Look, even Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it happen to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. Wow. An amazing thing has just come to Mary. And it very interesting, if you are aware at all of Jewish custom, girls are usually pledged to be married when they reach puberty. These girls, once they hit puberty, they're already set up to be married. That means they could be 12, 13, 14 years old. We don't know how old Mary was, but we do know that she was not very old. Some of our depictions make Mary look like she was 25 or 30 years old. She was a kid. She was a young child. So the best guess we have is that she was anywhere between 12 and 17 years old. We don't know for sure. But as a very young kid, as an adolescent, Mary said yes to the call of God with a purpose beyond what she could imagine. Mary said yes, and she was just a little kid. Now, granted, she did not have a clue what was going to happen. Praise God. Are you glad that when you got saved, God didn't tell you all the things that were going to happen afterward? I'm really thankful that God, you know, sometimes I'm like, God, show me where I'm going, show me what I'm doing. I'm so glad sometimes that God doesn't show me everything. But she didn't really have a clue, but she simply said yes. And God very graciously entertained her questions. It wasn't like Sarah. You remember Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament? Sarah laughed. God came and said, a year from now, you're going to have a son. I think I actually put that up there, didn't I? Genesis 18:13-14. And the Lord asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, can I really bear a child when I'm old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Does that sound familiar? That's almost the very same words that the angel said to Mary. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. At the appointed time, I will return to you in about a year, and Sarah will have a son. You know that translation, it could just as easily be translated in Luke chapter 1, excuse me, where we just read, where it says, For with God nothing shall be impossible. It could be just as well translated, not one word that God has spoken will fail. It can be translated either way. And if you read the Bible translators, they argue back and forth. So what I say is, which one is right? Yes. Yes. I'll take them both. They both sound good to me. But Sarah laughed. But Mary isn't laughing. She's a kid. And she says, well, how can I have a baby? I'm a virgin. She's not laughing at God. She wants to understand. God gets that. God gets it. God graciously entertained her question. He entertained her fear. You had an angel show up like that? They said she was greatly troubled. We'll look at that in a minute. But I think she simply wanted to understand, and God understood that she was just a child. And Mary said yes to God, and it was the best decision of her life. And it was the decision that was going to cause the most problems in her life. She's going to say yes. It's the best thing. It is the right thing. Praise God that she did. But it's also going to cause her a bunch of trouble. It's not going to be an easy road. It doesn't mean that it's going to be an easy road. In Mary's culture, her age was not a problem. But her unwed pregnancy was. That was not something that was looked upon properly by the Jews. Oh, that's not what I wanted. There it is. Deuteronomy 22:23-24. If there is a virgin pledged in marriage to a man and another man encounters her in the city and sleeps with her, you must take both of them out of the gate of that city and stone them to death. Ow! And God put Mary in the position that it looked like that. Yikes. You know, Mary probably had an idea about this when she said yes. I don't know if she had a chance to think through all of the ramifications, but her yes was still yes. And But in spite of the problems, is it worth finding the will of God and walking in it? Absolutely. In spite of every problem and in spite of every difficulty, it is worth it. I wanted to go back. I saw something online that really annoyed me, and it was this. It said, submission to God equals a blessed life. I got news for you. Well, that really could be true, but it depends on what your definition of blessed is. It does not mean that you are going, it does not say you're going to have an easy life. It does not say you're going to have a problem-free life. It does not say you're going to have a pain-free life. When it says blessed, this just bothered me. I looked at it and I thought, do we not get that idea in our heads as we walk with the Lord? That if we follow Christ, if we do the right thing, that He's going to protect us from problems. He's going to save us from difficulties. He's going to keep us from this and that. And we pray for that. We ask for that. But there is no guarantee in this life from trouble. Jesus said, in this life, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So submission to God doesn't mean that we're going to all tiptoe through the tulips with Tiny Tim. I'm sorry if that conjures up a really bad picture for some of you. As soon as I said it, I could see him and like yikes. But Mary may not have thought through all of the ramifications of her agreement, but I think she was just kind of like, I'm going to do what God wants. Yes, I'll say yes to God. And Joseph certainly understood the problem. He got it. Matthew 1:18-19, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged in marriage to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He was a really nice guy. Now, at this time, the law of Moses would prescribe stoning for her, but in the day of their Roman occupation, they couldn't do that. They weren't going to do that. But it would also mean that he could not and should not marry her. So he decided, I'll just put her away quietly. And then an angel comes to him in a dream and says, don't be afraid. God has done this, and he sees it, and he takes Mary on. But now Mary is carrying a baby. Oh boy. And everybody knows that Joseph's probably not really the dad. And then there's the 9 months, then there's the long journey where she's 9 months pregnant and she has to travel to Bethlehem. And you know how they have a picture of Mary riding on a donkey? There's no indication. She probably walked. 9 months pregnant. And then they get there and they can't find any place to stay. And then there was the birth in a stable or in a cave, whatever it really was. It was probably more like a cave. And then they have to flee because Herod wants to kill the Messiah, so they have to run to Egypt. Oh, we'll just take a little trip over to Egypt. That was not a little trip, let me tell you. That was an expedition with Mary and a new baby. Aye, aye, aye. And then there was the having to be Mary and watch your son die a horrible death on a cross. So Mary said yes. She may not have known all of what she was saying yes to, but she was willing. And I'd like to look at five lessons, if I could, from Mary, the mother of Jesus, in trusting God. I want to make clear just a little distinction. I don't mean to point fingers or anything, but we do not venerate Mary. She was a person like us, used by God like us. But I believe that we can learn some things. Obviously, she was a very, very special young lady. God wasn't going to just choose any young girl to be the one to carry the Messiah. So, five lessons from Mary, the mother of Jesus, in trusting God. Number one, despite Mary's fears, she trusted God's word and guidance for her life. You know, when the angel first appeared, it said that Mary was troubled. If there was ever a translation understatement, that is the, did I put it up? I think troubled. The Greek is diataraso, to agitate greatly. I think that she saw the angel and she went, ah! I don't know what she did, but what do you think you're 13 or 14 year old, if you had a 13 or 14 year old daughter, what would she do if she saw an angel appear in her bedroom? Ah! You know, it would be pretty freaky. What do you think, Shay? Would Cadence freak out if an angel appeared to her in her bedroom? Yeah! That'd be scary. That would be pretty surprising. And she had to know her circumstances and the fallout of being a virgin and an unwed mother. Despite her fears, uncertainties, and questions, Mary still decided to submit to God's plan and submit herself to it. And what does she say? And this is the watchword for this message today. I am the Lord's servant. And if you look at that carefully, it literally means I am the Lord's bond servant. That was a permanent servitude under the Old Testament law. Not to be redeemed, not to be set free in the Jubilee, not to be brought back, but someone who had permanently sold themselves. They talk about the slave that has their ear pierced and becomes their slave for life. She said, I am the bond servant of the Lord. I'll do whatever. I will do whatever. So in other words, when the angel came, her mind was already made up. She'd already surrendered. We may face fears in submitting to God's plan for us. Could. Regardless of the questions, be willing to submit yourself unreservedly. You know, there was always a joke, but there was some truth in it. People would say, I can't give my life totally to God because if I do, He's going to make me go to Africa. And I remember, do you remember hearing that? I heard that all the time as a young Christian. I don't want to go to Africa. Well, the idea there is that if you submit yourself to God, He's going to make you do the thing that you least want to do. Whatever it is that you really don't want to do, that's what God's going to do if you submit yourself. No. But do we in our hearts fear that when God calls us to something, and it's hard to submit ourselves to it? Oh God, what do I have to do? There's grace. There's grace when you submit yourself. When you lay your own life down, when you put yourself on the altar and you submit yourself, that's when God shows up. That's when He gives you the grace. That's when He moves in your life in supernatural ways to do things that you can't do on your own. There was no way Mary was going to be able to be the mother of the Messiah. Little girl. But for God's grace. God's grace. Oh, He can do it. Despite her fears, she trusted God's word and guidance for her life. Number two, in the midst of trials, Mary continued to praise God. We have a very interesting portion of scripture where Elizabeth is also pregnant, not miraculously by the Holy Spirit, but certainly miraculously for a very old lady who could not be pregnant anymore, and suddenly she is. And Mary shows up to see Elizabeth, who's a little farther along than Mary. And Elizabeth says, "Oh, when you came, when I heard your greeting, the baby inside of me leaped for joy." And then out of Mary comes this thing that some people call the Magnificat, or the Song of Mary. She begins this beautiful praise. I've only put part of it up on the wall today. I would encourage you to read all of it. Some of it is has some historical significance as well. But here's Mary, and she's visiting Elizabeth, and she's kind of out here and not married. So she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." This was pretty life-changing news for Mary, and she would have been justified, frankly, in freaking out a little bit about it. But in spite of everything she's going through, she is praising God. She's praising God, and I believe she continued to praise God throughout her life with Jesus. She praises God for his faithfulness. She also praises God for future generations of his faithfulness. And she says, "Everyone's going to call me blessed." Well, yes, but how many of us would have sat with her and called her blessed while she watched her son die painfully on a cross? That's something she also had to submit herself to. And yet, she said, "Everybody's going to call me blessed. I'm blessed." And throughout her life, I believe she was blessed, but it wasn't easy. Mary, I believe, probably had a lot of problems in her life because of her calling. But you know, if we didn't have problems, we wouldn't need God. Praise God for problems. I have problems. Glory be. Well, I don't usually feel like saying that, but my problems bring me to my knees, and they put me in a place where I need God. Where I need God. We heard a prophetic word this morning. It's John 15:5. "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And we need to get that sense that our problems are a blessing in disguise, because they make us dependent on God. And if we didn't have any problems, if I didn't have any pressures, any problems, would I pray? Would I seek God like I ought to? I don't know. I don't think so. Oh boy. Thank you, Lord. That brings me to number three. I'm getting ahead of myself. These little points that I'm making are overlapping a little. Mary's suffering drew her closer to God. Luke 2:34 and 35. "Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, 'Behold, this child is appointed to cause the rise and fall of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against.'" Uh-oh. "So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul as well." You know, when you hear a prophetic word, how many of you want to hear that a sword's going to pierce your soul? But no. But God was saying, this is going to be hard. But know that this is God's plan. It's His plan. He's going to walk with you. This child is appointed. And it's going to be hard. And it's going to be really hard on you too. But it's God's plan. And He can help you with it. Being the mother of Jesus was Mary's greatest honor, but it ended up being a source of suffering, a sword. You know, she watched the soldier pierce Jesus' side. Do you think she felt a little of that pain herself? Oh, my goodness. I want to tell you that suffering, I don't know if a person, there's a lot of things you can suffer. But the loss of a child, there's nothing like it. And I speak from experience. Mary watching her son suffer and die. When my daughter died at 16 years old, you could have cut my arm off and I'd have felt better than to have that happen. And when you lose a child, after a while, things get better. But you never get over it. You never get over the pain of that thing. And I remember when I went through it, I went through a season where my wife and I had a really hard time trusting God. How do you pray for safety when you're on the road after your daughter's killed in a car accident? How do you pray and believe God to protect you, to bring blessing when you've experienced that kind of a loss? It was a really tough time for us, and I can relate to what Mary went through, the bringing the Messiah into the world and maybe not understanding why He's dying up there with a mock trial and tremendous injustice. When my wife and I went through what we went through, we came to the point, I finally came to the point where I said, like Job, though He slay me, I will serve Him. And I had to say, I don't understand this. I don't understand it. I don't know why, but I'm going to trust that You're faithful and You love me anyway. Anyway. And then we were able to walk on. And we're in a place where we trust and believe God, but you know that thing doesn't go away. But God knows, and it brings you closer to Him. Your suffering can either drive you away from God or it can drive you into God. It's your choice. You can choose. You can choose to become bitter against God and say, well, you know, why am I suffering? If God really loved me, I wouldn't have that. Or you can let your suffering propel you into God and lead you to a place where it makes you closer to Him and understand His heart more. And I tell you what, I am looking forward to heaven. Glory be. Oh, but it's not... It's not easy, but our problems will bring us to our knees. And in our problems, God wants us to fully rely on Him. Ah, I don't know if I put the next scripture up there or not. Consider it pure joy. There are some scriptures that I just really don't like, and this is the one I know it's true, but I don't have to like it. Sorry. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of many kinds. I don't like that scripture. But it says to be joyful in them. Why? Because they can propel you into God. They can build your character. They can build the fruit of the Spirit into your life. Oh boy, glory to God. And John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. Number four. Mary trusted God in the unknown. You know, Mary really didn't have any idea how she was going to do this. What little kid would? How would they have any clue? okay, I'll do it. What do I do now? Get pregnant. What do I do now? She hadn't the faintest idea. You know, but she had to trust and submit. And you know, it's really easy to trust God when everything is going according to your plan and life is moving on and things are good. But when things are difficult, when things are unsure, that's where we have to trust God. Remember Abraham? Hebrews 11:8 says that God called Abraham out and he told him, go out into this land. And it said Abraham packed up his stuff, but he had no idea where he was going. Can you imagine packing up all your stuff and you're ready, okay, God, where do we go? It says he didn't know where he was going. He had no clue. But he trusted God in the unknown. And when things are unsure, and you know, we end up in some place that's not really something that's not really our strong suit, where we're unsure of what we're doing, how we're going to do it, or where we're going, that's when we have the opportunity to trust God. I remember when I realized I was going to pastor this church, I said, okay, but I also said, God, I don't have a clue. You know, you have ideas, you think it, but then when it comes right down to it, you land somewhere and you don't know where you're going. And I said, God, I... And sometimes our past experiences can make it hard for us to trust God in the unknown now. Years and years and years ago, I went through a season where I was probably not in the right fit. I was actually interim pastoring. And it really should have been somebody else. And there were a few Sundays where I got up to preach and I had nothing. I prayed, I sought God, and I got up and I had nothing. And it just, I remember that shook me. And for years afterward, every time I had the opportunity to preach, this fear struck me. You're going to get up there and you're not going to have anything. Now, when I first came back here, that old fear stuck its little nose up there. You're not going to know what to do. I want to tell you, every single week, God shows up. And every week, he speaks to my heart and every week he gives me what I need. I know I can trust him. He is faithful every single time. Do I know yet what I'm going to preach on next week? I don't know, but I know that God's going to speak to me. I know he's going to move. Do I know where our church is going to be at next year, in the years to come? I don't know, but I know God is giving me a sense of what's happening, and I know he's speaking, and I know that there's an anticipation of really awesome things to come. Glory to God. But we walk a lot in the unknown. We don't know. We have to trust God. Oh, churches don't come with a roadmap. I wish they did. But do not let previous experiences dictate your now. Trust God for the now. No matter what happened before, forgetting those things, trust God in the now. Where are we? And this is the last one, and it's pretty obvious. Mary trusted God. No, that's not it. Oh, I think I skipped some things. Oh, no, there we are. Abraham. There we go. Number 5, Mary surrendered to God's will. She surrendered. And we've been talking about surrender the whole time. But ultimately, that last lesson was one of God, whatever you want, I'll do it. Whatever you want, I'll do it. That's why at Jesus' first miracle, where he transformed the water into wine, she was able to say to the servants, whatever he says, do it. because she had been able to say, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. And she had seen the faithfulness of God. Well, Mary's decision to surrender caused a lot of people to talk. You know, there's an old myth that surfaced around the second century. It was a myth that Jesus was really the son of a Roman soldier named Pantera. And there were rumors that circulated around in Jesus' time that it wasn't a virgin birth. Some Roman soldier attacked Mary, and that's foolishness. There's absolutely no archaeological or biblical substantiation to any of it, and nobody accepts it now. But those things went around, and Mary may have been viewed as an adulteress because she submitted to the will of God. But what she had to do was let go, to submit to the will of God. She had to let go of what people thought of her. Now think about that a minute. When I thought about that, I felt immediately convicted. God, how much time do I spend worrying about what people think about me? And if you don't think you do, how many of you get up in the morning and you fix yourself up and you put nice clothes on, you think about what kind of car you're driving, you think about how your hair looks, you think about what you're going to say, oh, I said something really stupid to so-and-so, they think I'm an idiot. We become very consumed about what people think about us. When I first started playing the piano for church, there was a family here that used to laugh because they would watch me and wait for me to make a... They'd kind of hope for a little mistake, because when I'd do it, I'd make this face. I'd be like, oh! They said, we saw you do it again. If I didn't play well, I always felt like, oh, I played terrible. They're going to think I'm terrible. Well, what is it I'm worried about? I'm worried about what people are going to think of me. Do you see that in yourself, the propensity to worry about what people think of you? And you know the reality of it? It's the reality of it. It's amazing how much time I spend worrying about what people think about me. And really, most people that I'm worried about don't really care anyway. They don't care. It's like, I worried all about it. And then they're like, somebody might laugh or something, but they don't care. They don't really care what I look like. They don't care if I look like I weigh 95 pounds or if I weigh 800 pounds or if I walked around and I had my buttons a little undone and like, my car looks terrible. They don't care. It seems like people in the world go around trying to please each other for people who don't care. They don't care. Mary, in order to submit to the will of God, had to forget about what people were going to think. She had to let go of it. I used to just worry about, if I didn't preach well, what are people going to think of me? Now it's like, is this what you get, folks? That's not always true, but Mary submitted to the will of God, and she had to give up worrying about what anybody thought of her. And in this day, if we want to reach people for Christ, we're going to have to not worry about what they think about us. I want to worry about what they think about Him, what they think about Jesus. And I want them to know what I think about Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that submitting to your will is always the best. Father, no matter what it comes with and no matter what difficulty, it's always the best, Father. Mary encountered tremendous difficulty in her life, and yet it was the path that you had put her on. Help us, Father, with the path that you have put us on. Help us to walk it faithfully and know that even if we encounter problems, if we submit to the will of God, it's going to be okay. That You are a faithful God. That You will walk with us in trouble. That You will walk it with us in our fears. That You will walk with us. And we can count on You to be a faithful God. And God help us, Lord, when we get tangled up in the things of the world, where we worry more about the world or what people think of us, Lord. I pray, God, that You would help us to be less people conscious and more Jesus conscious. Father, I want to know what You think of me, Lord. Oh, God, in Jesus' name today, help us to walk that out with You and to submit to everything You have, knowing that the best life we can have is one that's submitted to the will of God. Oh, we thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, years ago I had a pastor who used to tell me all the time, he said, Dave, if you can at all run away from the ministry, run away. Don't get as far away from it as you can. Don't do ministry unless there's absolutely nothing else you can do. And I used to wonder at that. And I said, no, it's a calling. What, would he have told Mary to run away from the what are you saying? The best place that you can be is in the calling and in the will of God. And instead of running away from it, I decided to run to it, run at it. Because that's where the anointing and the blessing and the life is. And if there's problems that come with that too, God is faithful. He's overcome the world. If you would like prayer today, we would love to pray for you. Otherwise, we really, really want you to stay and have some fellowship for a little while if you can. I know that the ladies have put some time and effort into that, and it's just a lovely opportunity to get to know each other. So stay a few minutes and have some treats, some goodies, some potatoes, I understand. But if you're here and you have a prayer need, we would love to pray with you today and believe God for whatever the need is in your life. His grace is sufficient. God bless you. If you want to come for prayer, please feel free to come now.